I'm Brian Myers.
I'm Mike Ritalik.
I'm Becky Haddad.
And this is Ag Pellets, a podcast featuring tips for ag teachers. We are your agricultural education resource across the web, sharing research-based tips and tackling the tough questions facing agriculture teachers every day. Hello, Owl Pellets. This is Brian, Becky, and Mike. We are back here at the Owl Pellet, and I'm coming to you not only from my Owl Pellet in beautiful Florida, where it is sunny and warm and great and nice, and the windows are open. How are things in Nebraska and Iowa, Mike and Becky?
Well, we had an ice storm last night, and this is where this is going to get dated, or you're going to have to make your 14 do a whole bunch more work, because this is going to air in, like, March or April, and everyone's going to be like, wow, it is still snow, like, ice storms? Wow, it's terrible in Nebraska, but it's not. It's great in Nebraska. It's great.
And that's why I'm doing this, to let people know that it's just ice in Nebraska all the time.
But it's always a sunny day in Iowa.
Always sunny in Iowa.
That is not even true.
I do know where it is always sunny, and that is in the great state of Indiana, home of the Boilermakers, Purdue University, who are our guests for today, and we are so excited. I don't even know what the Boilermaker cheer is, or I would do it. Boilermaker up, right? Is that right?
Boiler up!
Boiler up!
There we go. I need to study before these a little bit better. We have Andrea Brown and Neil Knobloch with us today. Thank you both for being with us here today on Owl Pellets.
You are welcome. Glad to be here.
Yeah, pleasure.
So, Andrea, why don't you start off? Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then Neil, you do the same, please.
Thanks for having me on today. My name is Andrea Brown. I am the education coordinator with Vex Hybrids. Vex Hybrids is the largest family-owned seed organization in the U.S. and founded in 1937. And so work here in the education department. We'll be talking a little bit about the project that I did for my master's a few years ago while I was a student in the Ag Ed Youth Development Department at Purdue. So looking forward to talking about that today with you.
And hello, I'm Neil Knobloch. I'm a professor at Purdue University. Started out in the great state of Iowa, and I taught 7 years there. And then went to Ohio State for my PhD, practiced professorship at University of Illinois for 5 years, and now I am in my 16th year at Purdue.
Fantastic. Thank you all for doing this. Andre, why don't you give us a quick overview about the topic for today, and then we'll dive right in.
Sure, that sounds great. A couple years ago, got the pleasure of working with Dr. Knobloch on my master's project, and at that point in time, I was an extension educator here in Indiana, and had an Ag and Natural Resources appointment as well as a 4-H youth appointment specifically related to 4-H livestock. And so as part of that was really looking at how can I tie my love of, you know, the youth involved in 4-H livestock projects into something that we could kind of see where it was maybe some of the skills and things that they were learning. How could we tie that into the classroom work that students were doing in the ag program? So had an opportunity to work with a school system, and essentially we kind of were looking at a few things there. We wanted experiential learning. It's something that's really important to me. And so we wanted to, how can we utilize, you know, those techniques and that framework. So we use a simulation, and we'll talk more and get into the nitty gritty of that. But essentially looking at how that simulation could help with teaching business management skills to students. These happen to be eighth graders. And then also, too, what's the tie-in with their 4-H livestock experience? Does that help build their skill set out when it comes to business management skills? And also, too, we were looking at entrepreneurial intent. So does that experience create something different in those kids that maybe opens their eyes differently, and they can see what sort of opportunities they could become as business owners, or even, you know, bigger picture from that. What can they do with that skill set that looks at having their own businesses? And so those are some of the things that we were trying to tie together as part of that research. And so we'll talk a little bit more about some of the practical application there.
What was the motivation behind the project, Andrea, when you decided to tackle this?
Right. So a couple of things. I had a background more in the hard sciences, animal science background, and really as part of getting into the social sciences, I talked with Dr. Knobloch about, you know, I need it to be applicable. I need to find ways to tease things out that I can take back into my work and extension at that point in time, or, you know, thinking of, at that point, I was a young mother too. How can I help use these skills to raise my own kids and influence what that looks like as kids in ag? And so having something that was really applicable and tied, you know, I can see, right, anecdotally, we know, and research-based, we know a lot of great things about those skill sets, right? But how can we tie some of that back together and see what the value can be from a classroom perspective? And how can we teach some of the skills that maybe are challenging to teach when we think about business management and how to do accounting and some things like that, that these kiddos need to learn, at least have a basic understanding in. And so that was some of the motivation behind that. And Dr. Knobloch might want to also speak about some of his tying it into SAEs as well, because I think that's an excellent side of the story that we kind of chatted through along the way.
All right. Well, you use the word simulation when you talked about this thing a little bit ago. And what I think is so cool about this project is what you guys use as a simulation. So tell us a little bit about what that is, because when I think of simulation, sometimes I think of these other kind of things that are much more complex and harder to do, but you did a great job of making this something that is transferable to everybody. And I'm going to quit giving away the big secret, let you tell us what this was.
Sure. So we used the farming game, if any of you are familiar with that. And we used it with almost a curriculum, if you will, to learn about accounting as well. So there was kind of a module that we talked about accounting and all of the facets of that. And then we played the game. And so as part of this, we played the game two different ways. So everyone got that accounting information to start off, have those basic skills. And then from there, we had some of the groups play the game, so the simulation, with just basically just how it's intended to be played. Okay, so think about Monopoly, if you will, right? You know, you're going around the board, and in this instance with the farming game, you're kind of operating a year of your farm. And so they just is purely off of, you know, cash value. So what expenses do I have? What sort of income do I have? Kind of real basic in and out. The other groups of students, it was a little bit more complex than that. So we asked them to actually use those accounting worksheets, and they needed to look at things with financial statements. They needed to do double entry accounting, right? Much more complex and detailed, which would translate more closely with what life would be like when you start thinking about owning your own business and some of the things that you would need to be doing there. And so the game part certainly was fun for all of the students, and had a really great time with that. You know, we ran this whole thing for about 2 weeks. And so then from there, we really wanted to see, well, what were the takeaways when we think about those accounting skills and what did that look like? And so, you know, I think some of that was, I'll tell you from an engagement standpoint, I have one student that, and remember, these are eighth graders, okay? So we can think about maybe they can come to school with a little bit of a surly attitude, right? You know, they're kind of in that difficult time of life where things are changing and evolving and exploring kind of who they are and what they enjoy. But I had students that were mad at me the last day.
That's okay, Andrea. Becky comes to work every day with a surly attitude.
It did stick out. Like, I had it underlined in my title. Like, this was with eighth graders. Like, where everybody looks like, she did this with eighth graders. So much respect for those right
students
now.
Are hard.
They're so hard.
Yes. So, you know, those kids, I had one that came up to me the last day and said, I'm mad at you. And I said, why? I thought we were having a great time. You know, what's going on? And he said, I'm mad that this is over. I was shocked, right? I mean, these are middle school kids and I'm torturing them with accounting. Yeah, we're playing a game, but I'm actually asking them to record information and, you know, make decisions and think as a team. So they played this in groups of four and all had to kind of work together to figure out what their year looked like on the farm. And so I definitely think from an engagement standpoint, this is a win. And when we think about activities and things that we can do practically, right? And so how can we use games and simulations and things that are fun and then add on kind of the hard part, right? So they're really learning those skills and they don't even necessarily know that they are. And so I think that that was really fun with that and definitely was something that we took away as an opportunity to, you know, for practicality speaking and using in the future.
I'd like to add a little bit about where the game idea came from. I was in my first year of teaching, Mid Prairie High School in Wellman, Iowa, and I started using a really excellent curriculum called Decision and Dollars, which you could use different contexts for agriculture production, horticulture, and natural resources. And I thought that was going to be relevant for students. The students were going to be really engaged and wanting to learn business management and financial skills. And it didn't take long and they were bored. And so I went home, talked to my wife, June. She happened to have a 4-year degree out of the University of Northern Iowa. Mike, go ahead. You can give kudos to that wonderful public university there. She taught, I guess, helped me figure out how to teach by using the board game, the farming game, as a number generator. So as students roll the dice and they go around the board, it would create the income and expenses that Andrea talked about. But then the real secret here is rather than playing with paper money, we were using double entry accounting and putting into this accounting, what we call an accounting register worksheet. They had to learn debits and credits. They had to learn the difference between income and assets. They get confused about expenses and liabilities. They get confused about net worth and profit. And then every time around the board was like a calendar year for them. They had to close the books. They had to make sure everything balanced. And then they get to play round two, year two. And by about the fourth or fifth year, they were absolutely getting it. It's a pretty steep learning curve to learn double entry accounting for any age, but definitely in that, you know, eighth grade high school level, it's definitely a challenge. But what Andrea found is that students that have some of that livestock experience, they're even more willing to persist in the challenge. So the connection here is that here's the purpose for SAE, getting students outside the classroom, experiencing real world production or work-related experience, and getting that actually makes them a more resilient and a self-starter learner and a self-starter learner in the classroom. So it just all came together beautifully when I was teaching high school agriculture. So that's where the idea originally started.
This is super exciting. Like, and it still is just eighth graders. Spent a lot of time on this in the classroom. But Andrea, you talked about, you know, the challenge to teach and bringing the pieces together. And Neil, you brought in like, but there are SAE implications here. And I know you said there were implications as far as 4-H goes. So talk to us a little bit about that transfer and moving from that simulation in the classroom to that experience and some of the experiences that these students had.
Well, I can speak on the SAE side. One of the other difficult things that I experienced as an agriculture teacher was to convince students that they needed to have an SAE. So I'm going to give a shout out to my mentor, Dr. Robert Martin, who was a professor at Iowa State for many years. He passed in May of 2022. But he said, Neil, the secret sauce of agriculture education is SAE. And so I just believed it, and I tried doing it, and it was so hard to convince high school students that they needed to go do something outside of class that really wasn't for credit. I mean, you tried to give them points, of course, but really much of that work was not credited, if you will. And you were convincing them, go do these volunteer experiences in some way, and then what's the benefit of that? Well, they were able to then make those connections back into the classroom. What this did is it put them in the driver's seat where they're all sitting around the table having a similar experience. And it really is like an SAE, if you will. They have to manage their business. They're generating numbers. They're all a little different because they could choose if they wanted to invest in hay versus fruit or cattle or wheat and corn. And so they had to make all these decisions independently, or if they worked in pairs, like in this article talks about, they had to make these decisions. They were all different, if you will, in how their businesses were structured, but yet they were paying close attention to how were each other doing. And then when I pulled out the SAE record book and said, you need to have an SAE, they started to at least see that relevance connection, Becky. It was, oh, now I get it. I want to go make money doing something. I just got to figure out what that is. And so that was more of a reversal of how did I used to teach SAE by convincing them they needed this record book, they need to go do something with it, versus we created the common experience with this simulation, and now they saw the relevance that they said, I want to go do this for real out in the community or in, you know, in their, maybe their family businesses or whatever.
Well, I appreciate that, Neil, and I was hoping you weren't going to be too humble and not share with us where the origin of the activities came from, which is terrific. So couple questions related to that. So I think we've piqued some interest of some ag teachers. So one, is it possible, how do they find this resource? And then two, Andrea or even Neil, what are some best practices, some recommendations that you have for ag teachers that want to implement this in their classroom?
Yeah, so the simulation is available. I would just say the easiest thing to do is to Google my name, Neil Knobloch at Purdue, and you'll see my email address there. Just send me an email, and I'll put them in contact with that. So I can do this in a more humble way there, Mike, and say, yes. My wife is the accountant, and she is the one who'll then fulfill the order if anybody wants to order it. So that's one way to get it. Best practices. Great question. In the booklet, it's a facilitator's guide. It's 113 pages is what would be purchased for the simulation that goes with the board game. You need probably 4 board games if you have a typical classroom of 16 plus students. And the really all the best practices are laid out in this facilitator's guide, Mike. So when teachers get uncomfortable about teaching double entry accounting, because that's typically not what an ag teacher is really well versed at. Most of us are not anyway. We know single entry because that's how the SAE record books are set up on the paper version. And so the double entry is a little intimidating. So the best practice there is in the facilitator's guide, there's 13 different transactions. They're all spelled out. So you can see the debit and the credit, how to do the entry in the worksheet, so that if any student says, I'm confused, I don't know what to do, the ag teacher can turn to that page and then literally show the student, okay, this is how we work through this. This is how we close the books. This is how we purchase an asset. This is how we pay off a loan. All the double entries are evident there. So to me, the best practice is having all the answers in that booklet in your hand while you're being a facilitator. And I think that's a good starting point. But Andrea, what did you notice when you were working with the students?
Well, I think a couple of things. We certainly did some of that from the facilitator's guide, right? Where we might pause and kind of just walk through if there were some things that were really challenging to kind of peel back when it came to that double entry accounting. That first year that we closed the books, right? We kind of did a lot of that together to make sure that everybody understood where that was going. I think too, then the thing that was important as I was kind of working with the students was really engaging with them as they were playing and finding out and kind of asking questions. What are you really interested in? What kind of makes you tick? What are you excited about when we think about these pieces of the game in your farming year? And, I think really just trying to make a few more connections of, yes, we're playing this game and it's not real money. But if you thought about it more from some of your own aspirations, what could that look like there? And how could we maybe get you even more excited about potential opportunities or thinking about that game in a little bit different way as far as how the farm was operating? One of the other things that was neat was some of those students that were participated in this, then later on, and I can't remember if it was, I don't think that it was the same school year, but those same students really actually used their interest in the game to create a different version of it. Okay, so there were some kids that were more strongly tied to, you know, it was more on like their cow-calf operation or something like that. And so they made their own version, essentially breaking out the, you know, the cycle of their year, and creating kind of their own, you know, diagram of the board itself. And so again, just other ways, in my opinion, where we created connections so that those students could see why this mattered and what it could be from an application standpoint. I think there's a lot of opportunity there, especially when you start thinking about how can we tie it in with their SAE? How can we tie it and relate it back to their 4-H livestock projects that they are engaged in? And so I think that was one thing that was important is kind of, you know, getting that out of them and being able to make some of those connections to see that. So I really loved that part about it, connecting with the students that way. That was really kind of exciting for me as working through this project. And then one of the other things too, we talked about with some of those students who are involved in the livestock projects, you know, they have a really simple form that they complete as part of, you know, what they turn in, you know, before they exhibit there locally and at the county level. And so kind of what were your expenses? What sort of income did you expect? This is a way to really push them further of thinking of what really were your expenses? You know, what really was your income, and help tie some of those things in a broader scale than what we did kind of on the dashboard of the truck as we were waiting in line to unload. I think that was really useful. We had some students in our county who went on to pursue, you know, loans from Farm Service Agency. Like, these are kids that wanted to have, you know, an operation of their own and needed to find ways to do that. So I can see where having this opportunity in a school setting would really help them approach their future in a more successful way, potentially, because they've had that opportunity to gain some of those skills and see it a little bit more of a big picture.
Well, Andrea, this is fantastic. Neil, this is great. You know, I think, unfortunately, any of us any time in a classroom or working with youth can probably remember a time where we tried to, hey, use this game to teach this concept. And what ended up happening is they just ended up having a game and playing it and not really remembering what just happened. And I think you have given us a great example of a game that, you said this a couple of times and I wrote it down, made double entry accounting fun. I do not believe those words have ever been strung together across a podcast in the history of time. And so that is something that's on there. It works. You have the research behind it. You've got a great tool. Thank you all very much for spending time with us today here on Owlpellet, sharing this idea. Look forward to the conversation happening among with other ag teachers as they find ways to use this and use other simulations as a teaching tool. So, y'all, thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and thank you, Brian, Becky, and Mike, for your efforts in sharing what we're doing at universities and making it relevant to ag teachers throughout the United States. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Owlpellets. Check out our website for more information on this topic and to learn more about our guests. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to stay connected. And be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you'll never miss an episode. For Mike and Becky, this is Brian here by the Owlpellets saying thank you, and we look forward to seeing you again on another episode of Owlpellets, Tips for Ag Teachers.